Elias Madero, you surrender your ship and we'll let the crew off in your lifeboats.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Taking your ship, sir. In the name of Sacred Liberty and the New Tex Militia.
Graphic Audio presents The Serrano Legacy by Elizabeth Moon.
So the ship blew? Or was blown?
No, not enough debris. Let's see if we can find any bodies.
Their tongues have been cut out, and they're naked. I can't tell out here if it was done before or after death.
Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Elizabeth Demery, Sonny Lasky, Peter Stray, Jeff Baker, Thomas Penny, James Konacek, Mort Shelby, Jonathan Watkins, Tim Getman, James Lewis, Andy Clements, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Tom Simpson, M.B. Van Dorn, Richard Rowan, Christopher Graybill, Colleen Delaney, Tim Carlin, Ken Jackson, Stephen Carpenter, Lily Beacon, Elizabeth Jernigan, Dylan Lynch, Scott McCormick, Terrence Aselford, Sherry Simpson, Karen Carbone, and Bobby Aselford. Book 5, Rules of Engagement, Part 1.
Halfway up the cliff, Brunn realized that someone was trying to kill her. She had already shifted weight from her left foot to her right foot when the thought penetrated. Instantly, her hands slicked with sweat, and she lost the grip of her weaker left hand on a little knob. She dipped it into her chalk and reached for the knob again, then chalked her right hand and refound that hold. That much was mechanical after these days in training. Someone was trying to kill you. You didn't have to help them by doing something stupid. She pushed up, releasing her right leg for the next move. Of course, in a general way, someone was trying to kill her or any other trainee. She had known that coming in. Better to lose trainees here than half-trained personnel in the field, where their failure would endanger others. Her breath eased as she talked herself into a sensible frame of mind. Right foot there, and then the arms moving, finding the next holds, and then the left leg. She fell, hit the end of her rope, and swung into the cliff face. A shot. Someone had shot at her. Hit her? Not enough pain. Must have been rock splinters. Reflexively, her hands and feet caught at the rock, sought grips, found them, took her weight off the climbing harness. Her head throbbed still. She shook it, and the halves of her climbing helmet slid down to hang from the straps like the wing cases of a crushed beetle.
Damn!
Reason be damned, someone was trying to kill her. Brunn glanced around quickly. Up, too far, too slow, too exposed. Down, 150 feet of falling in a predictable vertical line. To the right, nothing but open rock. To the left, a narrow vertical crack. They had been told not to use it this time, but she'd climbed in it before, learning about cracks and chimneys. If she could get there... She pushed off, and the next shot hit the cliff where her head had been, between head and right hand. Splinters of rock sprayed her hand, the right side of her face. She lunged for the next hold, not in a panic, but with the controlled speed of someone who knew just where each hold would be. Whoever it was had some reason not to fire on automatic at full speed. But now they knew which way she was going. She took a chance. For an instant, Brunn hung from her arms, feet scrabbling. Then she found the hold and the next. The sheltering crevice was just ahead. This time, it was her left hand that slipped when she reached too far.
Damn it!
The next shot shattered the hold for which she'd reached, loosing a shower of rock. She didn't hesitate. The breakage offered new holds. In a second, she was into the crevice, yanking hard on the rope for more, for enough to move into deeper cover. What she hoped the shooter didn't know was alignment of the crevice. The forces which had made it had produced an almost spiral fracture. Not 10 feet above, she could be safely hidden from the shooter. The rope from below dragged at her. No more slack. They hadn't understood. Or were they part of the plot? She yanked again, unsuccessfully. Mitchell Langston Pardue, Ranger Bowie of the New Texas God-fearing militia on Our Texas, sat in his heavy carved chair and waited for the captain to finish reading his report. He stroked the carving on the right arm, supposed to resemble the old Texas animal called a dilla, whatever that had been, and thought how he could imply that the captain was an idiot without actually saying so.
Mitch, you paying attention?
Pete Robertson, Ranger Travis and Captain of Rangers, had an attitude that made Mitch want to slap him upside the head with something heavy. He was getting old, with a waddled neck like a turkey gobbler.
You bet, Captain. You see, we need about 30 more of them nukes from Familia's Regnant Space Fleet in order to top up the first depot. Your timetable for hitting the Guernsey is running behind a little.
It's stopped in its tracks like a Polack steer. And if we wait too long, they won't make the connection we want.
The Guernsey had reacted with vigor to the theft of a shipload of tourists and had gotten them back, though with casualties. Then they'd imposed a trade embargo and blown up a couple of ships to make a point that they held a grudge about the ones who had died.
We gotta get more weapons. And there's something wrong with our main agent in their space fleet headquarters. The last signal we got from him makes no sense.
Sam Du Bois, Ranger Austin, sat forward.
He's getting old, though. He's had one of them prescribed procedures.
He was rejuvenated. They started rejuvenating their most senior NCOs about 10, 15 years ago, and he's one of them. If they hadn't, likely we wouldn't have gotten anything from him.
But it's an abomination.
Sam Du Bois was stubborn as a mule and tighter than a tick to Parson Wells.
Yes, it's an abomination. I'm not saying it ain't. But the devil takes care of his own sometimes, and them rejuvenations have been working a while now. The man's only 80. His mind should be fine, even if he hadn't had the drugs.
Yeah, but it's not. Look at this here.
With a triumphant look at Mitch, the captain passed down a sheet of paper.
Gobbledygook. Did he change ciphers or something?
No. I think he's taken to some heathen practice, or that rejuvenation has eaten his brain. I've heard about that.
Everyone knew Robertson had read more widely in the dangerous literature of biomodification than was strictly approved by the Parsons. The captain was trying to trap him into a discussion that would prove his contamination, but Mitch was smarter than that. Instead, he had his own plan.
Captain, I'd like to make a proposal.
The captain's gaze didn't waver.
Sure.
You know, you gave me permission way last year to do some work in the Familias myself.
Yeah.
Well, sir, I cast bread on the waters, and let me tell you, there are hungry souls out there all athirst for the true word of God. I found some agents here and there in big trading firms and one in a regional weapons depot, an assistant station master. We've been getting a nice little flow of illicits in here for about 6 months.
Mitch pulled out his own report and passed it around.
More than that, gentlemen, anytime we want an entire cargo hold loaded with nukes or anything else, I've got just the person to do it. What I thought was, I'd go on and tell them to load up, and then go get us a transport as well as the weapons. There's this ship that takes a shortcut through a deserted system. Fine place for an ambush.
And you want our help, Ranger Bowie?
No, sir, I don't. With all respect, sir, there's too much going on to pull resources from the rest of our people. What I thought was, I'd take back all of the boys and take care of this little chore, and that should put us back on track for knocking the Guernsey flat on their tails.
What about the crew?
Our usual rules. We still need more females if we can find some that ain't too badly contaminated.
You know, we've had to mute damn near every foreign female we've brought in, and I worry about their effect on our women.
Yeah, we're real men. We can control our women.
Yeah, damn right.
I'll tell you what.
Besides, we know God approves because the imported women have strong, healthy babies. Hardly any of them born with defects.
A child's defects reflected parental sin. If healthy children came from women brought up in sin, then it must be because God celebrated their release from the abominations of the ungodly.
Parson Wells, bless your mission, Ranger Bowie. You have my approval.
When Pardue was captain of Rangers, which he fully intended to be, he'd never go belly up for anybody, like Robertson just did. When the parson came in, he explained the proposed mission again.
Just be sure to avoid contamination, Ranger Bowie.
Yes, sir, Parson. I got no intention of going heathen.
He had every intention of coming back with weapons, women, wealth, and every intention of making it to the captaincy before he was many years older.